This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the evening, and like we said, our first story is about the fact that within Britain's transport network, there is a bunch of initiatives that are being rolled out for buses, coaches, trams and trains, public transport basically, to have sort of chat days, to have moments of moments and spaces for people to be encouraged to talk to one another. The series of initiatives has been orchestrated by a BBC team focused on solutions journalism to combat what they say are two of the most toxic issues of the age, polarization and isolation. So we kind of thought it would be interesting to open that up and chat about it, basically. Is this a good idea? Do you enjoy speaking to strangers, Cam?
Well, I think in the case of the UK, I think it's... I don't think that would go far enough. They need, like, electric prods.
Sure, yeah.
To force people to communicate with each other. I grew up out there, and I'm still influenced by that when I go out there. You don't talk to other people. You just don't.
And yet, it would appear that there has... I mean, in the small versions of it that they've rolled out, it would appear that there's been some success. I mean, people have said that they've been happier talking to people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many benefits to it.
Right.
And,
but to get there, you think the electric prods need it?
Yeah. Some government edict, I don't know, a war that seemed to help. And it is so refreshing to actually communicate with the people around you. We're still in England. I mean, maybe I'm thinking London specifically. There is an absolute lack of contact with other human beings all around you. A city of 8 or 9 million people can be the loneliest place on earth.
I was interested in the story because it lines up pretty neatly with something I observed recently. I was in a condominium block, and in the elevators, I spotted this little poster that was more or less something like this, which was attempting to encourage people to talk more. And it was sort of a little illustrated checklist, the kind of thing that you might see also on the backs of doors in public restrooms telling you to flush. In this case, it was more like, hi there. Remember, you know, you can talk to your fellow elevator mates, ask them about their shoes, ask them about work. It was just sort of little suggestions for how you can actually start conversations. And I was thinking, huh, so people are, A, needing this encouragement, it seems, but also there seems to be some sort of concerted effort to begin getting this going again, this idea that we are in a densely populated space and maybe we should talk to one another.
Well, I mean, hopefully our listeners can help us out on this, but I wonder if Malaysians, Kuala Lumpurians need that help. I'm not entirely sure. I think a big difference is between London and Malaysia is the places where people gather together and are squeezed together are just very different. So yes, lifts, but public transport, It's not something I use. I don't use public transport, and the people who do use public transport would have their own experience that I am unfamiliar with, whether or not there's much communication going on there.
I have to say that as a city dweller myself, I have an instinctive horror of this, the idea that, oh, we're going to be encouraged to talk, and something about that forced social interaction bugs me. But with that said, I am also the kind of person who offers compliments on the street and has, you know, I have spoken to strangers and I do find those interactions enjoyable. So I understand the benefits of it. I know the kind of boost it can get, you can have from having just a pleasant exchange, a tiny act of kindness, a tiny act of humanity from another, you know, sort of urbanite. It does mean a lot. I think just the idea of it being top-down in approach makes me a little squeamish.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, I think I've always appreciated it. I enjoy it. When I went to the United States, I found it very disconcerting at first that just people just talk to each other.
Yeah, they do.
And
about anything.
Yeah. And I would be like, I'm sorry, do I know you?
And, are we close personal friends? Yeah. And I've just forgotten you.
Yeah, but then after a while, it becomes a thing. And it's great to sort of find out about people. I like finding out about people. Now, the difference between you and I, Lynn, is that I am a smoker.
Mm.
And there is a community out there. We live beyond the law. And when we hang out, we may not know each other, but we can easily start to find ourselves talking to each other, especially if you offer one person a cigarette or whatever.
Yeah, or so if that, you need a light.
Yeah. Mm. So there are spaces, unconventional spaces, where unrelated people can be put together and can find a way to communicate. And I think it's always beneficial.
Do you agree? Would you like to see us being encouraged to interact with strangers more in public spaces? For example, on the LRT or the MRT, do you think we just need to be talking to strangers more? Would you welcome that? Call us and let us know. Talk to us, strangers. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be speaking after this with Dr. Chua Suk Ning, who is a clinical psychologist with Relate, to find out what the actual benefits of this might be. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 and you're with Lynn and Cam on the Evening Edition. We're talking today about, an initiative that's been rolled out in the UK for public transport to be more chat-friendly spaces. Things like, things like trains having a chat carriage, others like buses having conversation starter cards, just all manner of things. And we've been asking you how you feel about this. You know, would you welcome an attempt to get you to start talking to strangers more? Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over now to Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist with Relate. Suk Ning, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us how much impact public interaction has on loneliness?
Well, I think if you are if you're feeling lonely, I think a positive interaction, even with a stranger, could be really helpful. People are made for connection, and I think in this society where we are quite isolated and often really busy, I mean, if you just go on any public transport or any mall, you see that most people are on their phones, despite being surrounded by, you know, huge crowds of people. So it's almost that these types of public interactions, I think, you know, it brings us back to a time where the community was more close-knit. So it's not just about, am I talking to a stranger, but are we creating a society where interacting with people positively and in a caring manner is commonplace? You know? So it creates that kind of communal feel that is missing in today's world.
Is there anything about Malaysian society and the way we communicate with others in our community that could make communicating with strangers more difficult as a way to alleviate loneliness that we might have?
It would be more difficult in Asian society, partly due to, you know, even though we are, Asian societies are considered collectivistic societies, there's a certain amount of shyness or sort of anxiety, like you don't want to trouble someone, you don't want to disturb someone or inconvenience someone. And I think that will get in the way of you initiating a conversation if you think that it's not desirable. The way we initiate conversations, I guess even if you think about talking to a hairdresser or a grab car driver, is that there's already a pre-existing a relationship that's created just by the task, rather than going up to someone who's sitting in the coffee shop and just initiating conversation. So I think having a context really facilitates that kind of conversation in an Asian society. Knowing that someone is already willing to interact with you will help. Otherwise, Asians tend not to go up to people and start conversations. There's high level of social anxiety, and it's just not normative in the cultural context.
So with that in mind, could a movement similar to the initiatives that we're seeing in the UK be effective in Malaysia?
I think that it would be interesting. It's never been done before. and again, sort of looking at how London is doing it, is they are getting counsellors who are trained. You know, so it's not just random people. And I think that you don't want to have, especially initiating something like this, that it's quite, you know, could be out of people's comfort zone. You're trying to minimize negative interactions. And so to start off, you need a good positive start. And I think it possibly will work out well if you have positive, empathic people who are talking to you, and that sets the norm for society and encourages people. So this is how you interact with strangers. You know, you don't give them a weird look or ask them to shoot. You don't shoo them away. You don't avoid eye contact. You know, and so it's very much creating a norm for an activity that is new to the society.
A recent report from the BBC highlighted positive effects on the mental health of people who engaged with strangers regularly. How does communicating with a stranger differ from communicating with someone we know?
I'm laughing here partly because I think about, you know, Asians who go through a difficult day and in the context, and they like to vent to someone, you know, and often when you hear, and again, this is a generalization, but when you hear agents vent, they're a bit careful on not to mention names. You know, they're trying to protect the reputation of everyone, and they don't want you to, often they don't want you to know who they're talking about. So in that sense, I think talking to strangers may actually be easier because you know that the stranger you're never going to see again. You can talk about people, and you're fairly certain that they don't know that person. And you can express your feelings, and after that, there's no need to see that person again. So you've kind of shared something, hopefully received support, and you go about your day without any expectation of further interaction. That may be, I think that's probably quite helpful. In addition to, again, just generally creating a more connected society, you know, that people are not staring at their phones, not avoiding eye contact, but actually looking at the people around them.
Right. So overall then, how would you advise people to do this other than introducing something like, you know, chat day or chat carriages here in Malaysia? Are there methods you would recommend for someone who might want to engage more with their wider community?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It depends on whether people want to know others in their wider community. Because that's an assumption that we all want to go out and talk to strangers. And possibly, especially for the individuals who are shyer or more introverted, that may not be desirable. But it really depends if this is what you want to do, and if you're feeling lonely and you want to talk to someone, think about what you're interested in. If you can find an activity that you enjoy, even if it's playing a video game or Pokemon Go, there are many communities that you can connect with on this common interest. And don't make it just about the activity itself, but also about knowing the people in the community who are sharing this interest. And so that's a great way to get out, get to know people, and actually develop an interaction. Because the interaction with a stranger is brief, you know. So it's better than nothing. But what's better than that is actually developing a relationship, a supportive relationship with someone, actually having a sense of belongingness in a community that you can call on, rely on, interact with on a regular basis. That's probably the aim rather than one-off interactions with strangers. I think find something you like to do and go do it. If you don't like interacting with people, you find interacting with people tiring, then perhaps you aim for maybe just two people, you know, or look at the people around you and think, who would be a nice person to get to know? And understand that awkwardness is part of the first step and it's okay. No one really remembers awkward encounters, or over time, those awkward encounters become amusing memories. You know, if you look back and go, the first time we met, it was so awkward. So but you just understand that awkward situations will pass and awkward feelings will pass if you don't dwell on them and just focus on connecting with the person, trying to find out who that person is and understand that person without judgment, and allowing that person to get to know you too. And that's an important bit. You know, relationships is not unidirectional. It has to be a two-way street, and opening yourself up as well as the other person, opening up and you trying to understand that person.
Suk Ning, thanks for sharing your perspective with us. That was Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist with Relate. Cam, are you ready to get out there and start talking to strangers?
Hey, I mean, make me sound like a weirdo.
No, that's coming from this antisocial introverted weirdo. Right. You know, it's coming from that perspective.
I chit chat with people all the time. I like it. I really enjoy it. One standard conversation I had it today, especially with Chinese men of a certain age. They'll often say to me, so how long have you been in the country? And I say, actually, I'm Malaysian. And then they lose interest in me completely. And I feel quite hurt. But I have that conversation on an almost daily basis. But I love talking to people.
Is that a conversation, Cam, or is that a failed?
I suppose.
Yeah.
No, but there's plenty of other chit-chats. But the other thing is that what we're skirting over is that loneliness. Loneliness is a real issue, and it's almost like a crime that in a busy city like Kuala Lumpur, or even in a small town where everybody supposedly should know each other, that something like loneliness can exist, especially amongst older people as well.
Yes, and I think the problem there is also that loneliness often begets loneliness, because after a time, you know, I don't know if everyone else has this feeling, but sometimes if you haven't spoken to anybody for a while, when you do speak to someone, it does feel like you're exercising muscles that haven't been used in a while. It does feel like you might need a bit of warming up because you're a bit rusty. And I think that if you go, you know, for prolonged periods of time without social contact of any sort or of any significance, it can take a while to feel like, it can start to feel more insurmountable than it actually is.
But conversation is one of our most basic inherent traits that we simply have to exercise. We all feel that need. You know, the invention of language we were propelled forward to that point, or we then propelled ourselves beyond that point. But language is a remarkable thing. And it upsets me, for instance, that it should upset me. I'm a lazy bugger, but my Malay is very poor. If I wish I could speak, you know, Malay better, Cantonese, Hokkien, Tamil, etc., and then have a complete Malaysian conversation.
Yeah.
And it 360 degrees. As it is, I'm limited pretty much to that English language sphere. But even then, there are still so many conversations to be had and things to learn.
So we've been asking you for your thoughts, I suppose, on the idea of being encouraged to chat with strangers. On Twitter, Robert says, phlegmatic, stiff upper lip Brits, but in Japan, public transport, no one speaks, let alone answer their phone or play their YouTube loudly. What's the need? People communicate because of a common bond or affinity. The fear of being antagonistic deters people, but they can do it easily on social media. Anyway, how's the weather?
It was quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it's rather mild, Robert.
Yeah. Robert makes good points.
Yes, I think so. And then Belinda says, I agree people should chat even though we're strangers, rather than having a whole lot of people just staring at their phone or listening to their earphones. A simple chat or a compliment, you know, can light up someone's day. So we should. I complimented a young girl in the MRT on her hairdo. It was pink, it was cute and stylish, and that lit her up instantly.
Yeah. I don't know if I, as a man, would be able to make that compliment. But no, but still, I mean, there are other forms of things that one can talk about.
No, I agree, because the compliment is one of my go-tos when it comes to speaking with strangers. It's usually sincerely meant. It's usually something that genuinely catches my eye. And I do it because when it's done to me, I feel that lighting up that Belinda's talking about. So I absolutely see the value in that. I consider it a little act of kindness, you know, in what might otherwise be someone's bad day.
Yeah, mm. Yeah. No, absolutely. Actually, I just remembered that you said about a sign in the lift.
Yes.
Yeah. In the lift, actually, of this building, just the other day, the lift stopped mid-floor and the doors open. And the doors open to just a brick wall.
That happens. It depends on the lift. It depends on the floor. Yes.
And somebody said in the lift, "The Matrix." And it lightened everyone's day.
On the other hand, Arihan says, over here, talkative strangers reveal themselves to be insurance agents at the end. Hence, there's a stigma.
Well, you know, that's not true.
That is a real thing.
Is
How
it?
Can you say that it's not?
That's a real thing. Okay,
that
I
is a real
know.
Thing. I mean, obviously not every friendly person is going to suddenly at the end go, "So here's the thing. I have some forms for you." But it does happen more often than I'd like.
Actually, yeah. I am less suspicious and a bit more gullible and naive than most. So I'm okay with conversations. But yes, people have their guard up.
Should we be talking more to strangers? Should the government or some other body encourage us to do so? Let us know. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.